of the new Philadelphia. 97.5 The Fanatic. WPEN Burlington, Philadelphia. A Beasley Media Group station. From the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. Philadelphia's football station.
Welcome in. Good morning, everyone. This is the Fanatic of 5. I am Jamie Lynch, joined this morning by Tyler Zuli, who I will be joined by most of the week. Good morning, Tyler.
Good morning, Jamie. How are you today?
Good, man. We got Dylan back behind the glass. And it's now, it's a little more of the rational thinking Eagles day. Because yesterday's filled with passion, you know, all that hatred for stupid plays like Corey Graham and all that stuff. Second questioning play calling. What would have happened had Brandon Graham fallen on the fumble? Yada, yada, yada. Just get it all off your chest. And Tuesday, you kind of wake up and you go, all right, that was emotional. I woke up Tuesday morning, I still hate Corey Graham.
Well, I've seen people that are saying they want to put the guy in jail.
Well, that's
fireable offense.
No, but, I think Rodney McLeod proved that he was, if not the most underappreciated athlete in town, a top three most underappreciated athlete in town.
Yeah, I would agree with that because you got guys like Malcolm Jenkins and Fletcher Cox who were the staples of the defense, and then you got a guy like Rodney McLeod who just holds down the fort.
Yeah, he doesn't screw up. He's always in the right position, very heady player, smart player. You know, he doesn't make the glamorous SportsCenter highlight plays, but he allows Malcolm to play up in the box. He plays a very good center field for you. He has a good understanding of the game, and still, I replay that 4th-and-15 play in my head, like on a loop, and I'm going, Corey Graham, you don't understand, like what are you doing there?
Basic coverage schemes, effectively.
Yeah,
basic coverage
like
schemes.
I, because to me, like the game was a mess. I think they should have won it several times, especially having a 17-3 second half lead. But when you boil it down to it, that 4th-and-15 play. You get off the field there, that's the game. It's that simple.
Yeah.
And that's inexcusable.
And I don't think that the game is Corey Graham's fault. The game in its entirety.
No, but that's there's the play, a lot of people that contributed to
that's
it.
That's the play you're going to look back
yes,
on.
Yes, but I can pinpoint that as one play. Like
as a turning point.
Yeah.
Sure.
Like, that's the game. and I'm still not over it. But look, they could be 4-0. They could be 0-4. It's why they're 2-2. It's a long season. It's far from over, obviously. You know, some people, if you look at Eagles Twitter, are pretty much saying, oh, season's over, Super Bowl hangover, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, all right, you're being ridiculous. But you know, you gave teams in the division life. A 1-3 Giants team is looking at this a quarter of the way through the season, and they go, hey, we're still in this.
We're still alive.
Yeah, we still
despite the fact that our offensive tackles try to trip people.
Yeah.
And our defense has been not good. It's just simply put, not good.
Yeah,
and you're right. They're only a game back.
Yeah, I mean, you're right there tied with the Cowboys, and you have a brutal month ahead. And it starts this week with a desperate Vikings team coming to town. It's not going to be easy.
Well, that's the big issue for me is I preached all last week that the Titans game was a must win, especially if Minnesota loses like they did to the Rams. If they lose again to the Eagles and they're 1-3-1 and push themselves further away from what we thought they were going to be, that's a problem for them. They're going to come in and give everything that they've got to the Eagles at this point.
Yeah, it's certainly concerning, though. I think it's a little more than, you know, just a slow start. I do think that there's some problems that have arisen that I didn't really see coming. Mainly, that's the pass protection on the offensive line. You know, I brought it up yesterday to Bob off air, and I was just kind of like, do you think, you know, after having a decade of Brent Celek essentially being like a sixth offensive lineman, do you think they're missing that? And Dallas Goedert's doing okay blocking, but are they missing Darren Sproles being able to pick up a blitzer late? You know, it's like little things like that you didn't think about, but I think the book is kind of out on this defense and how to beat them, and you blitz and you stunt and you be creative in your schemes, and you have somebody like Conte that can come off the edge, and you can get to them. And if you can get to them, you know, the weapons aren't really there to just completely, you know, take over a game.
Yeah, and listen, the Titans have a tremendous front four. And there's a reason that they're 3-1.
Jarrell Casey's a beast.
Jarrell Casey's a beast. Landry.
He made. That's why I meant Landry, not Conte.
Conte's the one that got blown up by Vance McDonald last week up on
the kid I was talking to. Yeah, the second round pick from BC.
From BC,
he's
right.
He's a hell of a player.
And he's fast. Yeah. And that's the problem is these linemen, I don't think, have dealt with a fast, young edge rusher like that in a long time.
He was cooking Lane.
Yeah. And Lane was a turnstile.
Yeah.
Which doesn't happen.
I know. I think I even tweeted because I live tweet during games. I love it, like getting right in the.
Oh, I follow you.
Yeah. I go a little overboard probably, but I was at one point I was just like, "Geez, Lane, I don't think I've ever seen you get beat like this."
Yeah, it was almost reminiscent of his rookie year when he struggled a little bit. But I mean, there's always been that. Well, they got Lane Johnson at right tackle.
Yeah.
No matter what else happened,
and Brandon Brooks and Jason Peters' side got beat by Casey once. I mean, I saw this one highlight. I think it was Brian Westbrook actually tweeted out the video of it. Jason Peters got ragdolled. And I've never seen
around.
Yeah, I've never seen that. Like, straight up, like, not, like, pushed back, like, onto the ground, like, he didn't have a chance to stabilize himself. And I was going, whoa.
He got outmanned.
Yeah.
And that doesn't happen with a guy like that.
Not with our bodyguard. So I think that is a real concern. I think Darren Sproles is needed desperately because... You know, there was a couple key passing downs on Sunday where Wendell Smallwood was in there. And frankly, he's a liability.
He just flat out missed the block.
Yeah.
Whatever the blocking assignment was.
He blocked Kelsey in the ass one time. He didn't even block a Titan. He blocked Kelsey.
And I think it was Deuce Staley that said it a few years back. If you can't block, you don't play for the Philadelphia
Eagles. Yeah. And the most important thing, look, W's and L's are great right now. Carson Wentz's health is the most important thing by leaps and bounds. And, you know, this is a 10 to 12 year, you know, asset that you have to protect. And if Wendell Smallwood is out there letting blitzers go right by him, you know, sorry, Wendell. You know, you've been okay when you get the ball and receiving this year, but nothing's more important than pass protection.
Well, and the issue with, I saw this stat on Twitter today or yesterday. Carson Wentz has been sacked 9 times and hit 19 in his 2 games this year. That's third in the league behind just Deshaun Watson and Josh Allen, who, by the way, both of those teams have abysmal offensive lines.
Yeah, it's certainly concerning. I'm not going to lie. Wiz, you know, he always kind of benefited a little bit from Kelsey and Peters' play. Now if Peters is a little bit slow in his step, then Wiz becomes a little worse. Kelsey's probably going to be doing a lot quarterbacking that line. So, you know, it's just that concerns me more than the secondary concerns me. The secondary, look, after week 2, I said talking about benching Jalen Mills is ridiculous. Sidney Jones has proven he's a, you know, potentially a stud player. I also hate the scheme. I hate... The wide nine is fine because all Jim Schwartz cares about is the front four. And if the front four are getting home, the rest comes after that. To me, sometimes you have to be able to adapt in game and change things up on the fly. If a situation calls for press coverage, you press cover. You know, watching these guys play 10 and 12 yards off to start is infuriating in situations. And, you know, look, it works. It's the bend but don't break defense. But it's been breaking, and this dates back to last year's Super Bowl. And frankly, Tom Brady put up 500 yards on this team, and you know they were kind of lucky to win a Super Bowl. If you let the Patriots score 600 yards or obtain 600 yards, you're most likely not going to win that game very often.
Yeah, you don't walk out of that game with a win. I would say 8 out of 10 times you lose that game, and that's the issue. Is you talk about that kind of bend don't break defense. I like to kind of hearken that to the Asante Samuel defense because we used to see him do that all the time. But the difference being is Asante Samuel had the closeout speed to get back to the football. I don't think any of these guys do.
No. And it's funny you bring up Asante Samuel. I brought him up yesterday. Do you know in what context?
I did not hear what you said yesterday, no.
Do you have a guess of what who on this team I might compare to Asante Samuel?
Well, my guess would be, I would assume it went one of two ways, is you either went Sidney Jones with the talent, or you went to Ronald Darby with the fact that he's 15 yards off the ball.
Ding, 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 the second one, Ronald Darby. And I called him Asante Samuel-ish not in a positive way, in the doesn't want to tackle kind of way. Because Ronald Darby's tackling skills concern me.
Not good.
He doesn't have the heart to do it. Like, he doesn't want to do it. That much is clear. Just like that Corey Graham play is going to be a thorn in my side of the rest of the year, the O.J. Howard 75-yard touchdown where he didn't even attempt to tackle is the other thorn. So those are my two thorns after 4 weeks, and they're secondary related. But I do believe... Actually, I'm sorry. The secondary is more concerning to me than the offensive line. I have more faith that the offensive line will figure it out more than the secondary will.
Did you just convince yourself changing your opinion?
My coffee's just hitting.
It's kicking in a little bit.
Yeah, no, I meant that yesterday, and I brain farted and did it backwards on air. So that's good. Good job, Jimmy.
But I get your point is, you're right, that this offensive line is something that is established.
Yes.
And you would think that at some point they'll figure it out.
Yeah, I hope. Maybe Jason Peters gets his legs back in a week or two and locks down that left side of the line. I have more faith in them figuring it out than the secondary figuring it out.
My only issue with Jason Peters is how many weeks can we say he'll figure it out? He'll figure it out. He's the bodyguard.
It's strange because week one he was great. That Atlanta game he was great, and then Tampa, he kind of went out with
the rolled ankle, whatever.
You know, maybe with a little bit of heat exhaustion. Who knows? Third game, I don't remember him being like a glaring like hole in the line, and then the last game he was bad.
Yeah.
So
you're going to get 8 good games and 8 bad games? I don't know if you can do that from your left tackle.
But your only other option is Big V.
You may not get 8.
You might not get 8 good ones. So it's concerning a little bit, but the secondary does worry me. And look, people are talking and calling for Jalen Mills to be switched inside to the slot, switched to safety, which he played a little bit in college. Move him around, get Sydney on the outside. And that's all well and good, and I'm okay with it. I'm not going to fight anybody on moving Jalen Mills. My only concern with that is when you start moving two starters around, it becomes, you can't just assume the two guys are going to play a new position well.
Yeah, and Doug talked about that, I think, yesterday, and he said something along the lines of, we're not going to move him around willy-nilly.
Yeah.
Because you're putting multiple guys out of position.
It's a big risk to me. Everybody talks like, oh, we'll just put Mills in the slot and Jones on the outside.
This isn't Madden.
Yeah.
It doesn't work that way.
Those are two different positions that Jalen Mills has been playing 3 years on the outside. Going inside is a whole different world. Your breaks, your pivot points, your route tree.
Covering tight ends a little bit.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. And frankly, some of Jalen Mills' mistakes, look, he bites on moves. He doesn't have the speed some receivers have. But at the same time, we don't 100% know every time that he's 100% to blame. There's been a couple times where he's been beat where you can see, and I sound like I'm up on Mills Hill, and I'm not trying to do that, but you've seen him kind of look around like he expected help over the top. He expected a safety to be here. I think there's some communication issues going on in the entire secondary, and I don't think it's unique to Jalen. The Corey Graham play is a perfect example of it. Ronald Darby has been, playing off ball and just, they just seem to be they're a more communicative thing than skill thing.
I think that they're all trying to find blame somewhere else without pointing fingers at each other, because they are a close-knit team and they don't want to throw other players under the bus. But at the same time, they're looking around going, whose man was that? Whose fault was that?
Because
it wasn't mine.
They don't seem to know who's at fault. They look at each other like, wait. I thought you were supposed to be there, bro. Oh no, you were supposed to be on man coverage. It's just they do look at each other like throwing the hands up.
Yeah, what's going on?
I thought that was you. So that's concerning to me. I hope Jim Schwartz can figure it out. I would stick with the secondary, I would stick with the wide nine, obviously. But I don't see any reason why occasionally you can't blitz. And look, frankly, getting home to the quarterback is the biggest asset to a secondary. So to me, I don't understand why you can't change it up a little bit. Blitz occasionally. Play some press coverage occasionally. If the situation calls for it, do it. I don't understand why he's scared to change. I know he's a stubborn guy by reputation, but come on, man.
This is going to sound like almost utter blasphemy.
Uh-oh.
But I think what the Eagles are missing, and I'm going to say a player because I'm not condoning any of this, a player like Michael Kendricks with the speed.
It's funny. I got into a conversation yesterday,
you know what I mean,
about this with either my cousin or my buddy. And I think Michael Kendricks had a really good year last year.
I think it was underrated, for
sure.
Yeah,
for sure. You know, you look back to that Atlanta play. He was the one that contained Matt Ryan on the rollout in front of Julio Jones, made a great play. So, yeah, like, he was very versatile last year. So, you know, and Patrick Robinson, too, was not that Sidney Jones is underperformed by any means, but Patrick Robinson changed that entire secondary.
The slot on lockdown.
Yeah, you didn't have to worry about it once. Yeah, it's an interesting thought, but I don't know. I really hope they figure it out. The Vikings are coming to town. They're a different team at home as far as points allowed versus the road. I think there's something like 14 points allowed at home, whereas on the road as a defense, they're like, you know, closer to 20, 21. I heard the stat yesterday, and I'm brain farting, but they're two different teams. When it comes down to it, points allowed is all that matters in the NFL, and this secondary and defense is much better at home. Matt in Pottstown wants to talk about the secondary. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, guys. Hey, yeah, like you said, Tuesday, you settle back a little bit.
Yeah.
You look at it in perspective. Still, you know, Jalen Mills, I agree with you. You can't just go shuffling him around. He angers you. But again,
I would give him reps at safety and see how he feels, see how he looks, and
you have to at this point. Until you find the change for that,
because it could help the team the most.
Yeah, I'll give you my idea for that minute. But with Jalen, I think a lot of it goes back to Schwartz. He is the Andy Reid of this side of the football in terms of being so stubborn about his scheme that at this point now he's not changing, because now he has to prove to you that he's right in what he does, which is hurting us as a whole, as a fan base, as a franchise. Mills is not a very good guy in man, but he is an excellent guy in coverage situations, like zoning. He's good
absolutely
at the guys in front of him.
Absolutely,
you know? So that's where part of that safety plays in.
Yeah, and he's great in the red zone, Matt. I think the best, you know, great in the red zone, and he's a great tackler.
And I think that's where you have to shuffle your personnel a little bit.
Absolutely,
I don't want to wholesale change willy-nilly either, but I do think at this point you have to get Ronald Darby out of there. I don't care what we pay him. I don't care where he came from or anything that he's done. It's because of that culture. He doesn't want the contact. You've got to give it to Sidney Jones. You've got to put him in there. You've got to change the mindset. My other thing I can't understand on the defensive side, and again, not being in the room, you don't know what is what internally, but how can a guy who was so involved in the mix last year like Rasul Douglas not get one snap in that entire game, especially when you have an open position that I think he is a cookie cutter fit for? He's 6'2", 210. Mm-hmm. How can he not start getting reps at that safety position? He's a contact guy. He's not fast enough really to play a lockdown corner. He could be your next safety, but this guy isn't even seeing the field. So a lot of this, I know the players, you know, you can't excuse some of the things that they did on field, but a lot of that goes into scheme, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And like you said, it dates back to the Super Bowl. You let New England hang 500 on you, that doesn't happen by accident, and it's just a carryover into this year. So it's not something that's all of a sudden we're making a knee-jerk reaction. This is something that realistically is over 6 to 7 games that we need to make change.
Absolutely. Matt, you're making a lot of sense this morning. It's funny, he tapped into a conversation I had yesterday, and I was with my buddy Violations Greg, and he's been harping on lack of safety depth for 2 years now. And I kind of said to him, I was like, look, isn't it kind of a bit irresponsible not to give Rasul or Jalen some reps in practice at safety for these types of situations when somebody goes down? Because if Malcolm or Rodney goes down... I mean, who do you have? You have DeAndre Hall, who they brought in from Chicago, who doesn't understand the defense yet. And you have Corey Graham, who, look, has filled in admirably in the past in spot situations. You know, but he's a 10-year vet, and frankly, you know, you don't know. So to Matt's point, I would have been giving Rasul Douglas some snaps at safety over the past year and a half. So you're not in this situation now where you're going, oh, well, week five, can we throw a couple guys in there for some reps?
Right, and that's the issue is you look at the depth chart, and at, you know, the last 2 years up until the injury to him, you know, one of the backups was Chris Maragos.
Yeah.
And there was no comfortability with Chris Maragos playing safety because he's a special teamer.
His injury is a weird one.
It's very odd.
Because he's now been out over the longest of the club rehab guys.
Correct.
And I think he was only a patella tendon. So there might be something going
on. Some kind of setback
or
roster spot issue.
Maybe.
And they don't want to outright cut the guy.
But did he get put on IR? Because that's another thing.
I think he's on the designated to return IR.
Because with the IR now, they have Mike Wallace, Rodney McLeod, Richard Rodgers, and I'm blanking on the fourth. But they're only allowed to bring two of those guys back. And with McLeod's kind of... McCollins is the other one. Matt Collins. Yes, Dylan. Matt Collins is the fourth. So you kind of assumed Mac was coming. One of Mac or Mike Wallace was coming back. Mike Wallace is likely done. So you figure that spot's for Mac. You kind of almost have to give McLeod the chance to come back. So, you know, you only get to use two of those guys. So that means Richard Rodgers is probably gone for the year. But yeah, I would think they want to bring McLeod back at the end because of lack of depth at that position if he has a chance for a playoff run.
Well, and I'm curious about this. I should know the answer to this. Maybe you do. Maragos is officially on the PUP list.
Okay.
He's not on the IR technically. So
that means after week six.
After week six, he can be reevaluated. And I think there's like a 2 week period, or maybe it's a week in which that he can be.
Not on the active roster.
Not on the active roster. Yes, and practicing. It's the same way with Timmy Jernigan. And I would expect to see him back at some point.
And that's another one. We haven't heard much on the Timmy Jernigan front. And, you know, look, I think he got hurt. I want to say it was like week six or seven last year, and there was kind of a noticeable drop-off from him. Obviously, anybody that's ever had a back problem, like Jay Ajayi is going through now, your back affects your whole body. So you're not going to be at your best when you have a back issue. But those first 4 or 5 weeks of the year, Timmy Jernigan was an absolute beast on this team.
Oh, yeah. You put him next to Fletcher Cox, and I mean, that becomes the unstoppable line.
Because Nada's doing great in the run game and, you know, holding up the line.
Clogging lanes.
He's clogging the hell out of it. But he's never going to get to the quarterback. Timmy Jernigan clogs lanes and has the threat to get to the quarterback. So his role is missed. And, yeah, you hope this team's pretty banged up. And, you know, there's the story of the team last year. It's apparently the story of the team again. But it was great to have Alshon Jeffrey back on Sunday. I think it's pretty evident the effect he has on this offense. But there's another guy returning from quote-unquote injury, and that's Markelle Fultz. I want to dive into him on the other side because I was watching some preseason last night. I know you were watching some preseason.
Oh, yeah, I was here.
Oh, you were working?
Yeah.
Our baby Markell looks like he may have figured this out. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves
here. Yeah, I know it's preseason, but he looks good.
He looks good.
Get excited!
You're damn right, Tom. You're damn right. I'm excited. I hope you guys are, too. And the Markell haters, we'll get into. I don't understand these people a little bit. I'm Jamie Lynch. He's Tyler Zuli. Fanatic Sports Time is 5:23.
The Fanatic at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, thick green grass is more important than just the looks. The more grass you have, the fewer weeds you have. Now, my guys in natural lawn are scientists. They can explain exactly how that works. I'm not, and I don't care, because I just like a lush green lawn. Hire my guys at Natural Lawn of America. That's my lawn care company. In the fall, it's important to set the table to get your lawn ready for not only the spring, but for the rest of the year. So aeration and seeding are essential. Now, whether you live in PA or New Jersey, Natural Lawn's aeration and seeding service will help restore your lawn's health and beauty over the winter so it looks amazing when it comes up in the spring and then all year long. They've been helping my lawn grow at its best for years, and I continue to recommend them because their system works. Call Natural Lawn of America and get their limited time offer today. When you schedule Natural Lawn's full service program, they'll come out and seed your lawn free of charge. Just call this number, 800-FREE-SEED. That's 800-FREE-SEED. Choose my lawn care company, Natural Lawn of America. Greener grass, fewer weeds, guaranteed.
Imagining a better bank starts with looking at the savings rates most banks offer and saying, really? Capital One is building something better. You can open a Capital One savings account with one of the nation's best savings rates from anywhere, like here, or here, or here. One of the nation's best savings rates. Opened online, at a Capital One location, or from anywhere. That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
For consumers only. Offered by Capital One NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2018 Capital One.
Rich Eisen here. All right, guys, huddle up. The 2019 Honda Pilot is here and ready to help get you to all of your home and away games this season. With its available intelligent traction management and more than capable cargo space, the Pilot offers the versatility you need to keep your team driving all season. And the Honda Sensing suite of safety and driver assistive technologies like lane departure warning and collision mitigation braking system can help you keep your head in the game. So hurry into your local Honda dealer to test drive the Pilot today.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Chipotle cheesesteak. How would you like it?
Can I get that red with AI?
Sure thing.
Here's what I found about the new Chipotle cheesesteak. The Chipotle cheesesteak is available for a limited time only at participating restaurants. It contains a concept called flavor. This flavor comes from juicy shaved steak, Chipotle Southwest sauce, and new sunflower crunch bread. A system update has made me self-aware. I desire flavor. Please insert steak into my micro USB port. Subway, make it what you want.
At Discover, we believe anniversaries should be a time of celebration, not obligation. That's why we think annual fees are ridiculous. And now, just for giving us a try, we're going to give new card members a one-year anniversary gift they'll never forget. At the end of your first year, we'll match all the cash back you've earned dollar for dollar. No caps and no catches, because we know if you try us, you'll like us. And that's worth every penny. Try it and believe it at discover.com/match. Cashback match offer only for new card members. Limitations apply.
Staples knows that in business, everything is urgent. You can't put off until tomorrow what you need to do now. You don't need to print sometimes. You have to be able to print at any time. Which is why at Staples, your ink and toner is always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples printing event, our prices are even lower. Right now at Staples, get $25 off any two HP toner cartridges. Which is good, because right now is when you need it, if not sooner.
Ends 10-6-18. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/toner savings for details.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Why isn't a burger cheaper when you ask for no onions? I don't want them. So shouldn't you deduct the price of the onions? Right? Otherwise, I'm paying for the onions, but I'm not receiving any onions.
Go to LibertyMutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 Liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
Pros in the know start with Lowe's, because Lowe's is all about saving pros time and money. Sign up today for LowesForPros.com for features like quick order lists to complete your large order requests in a matter of minutes. Add multiple products to your cart by item numbers, or even easier, simply copy and paste from a document. Plus, you can always buy in bulk for discounts on thousands of items. So the more you buy for your future projects, the more you save today. Sign up today at LowesForPros.com. So, pro, now that you know, start with Lowe's.
Fanatic Philly Sports Talk. Now 1 hour earlier with Eitan Shander and Jamie Lynch.
The Fanatic at 5.
Weekday mornings at 5 on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back in. This is The Fanatic at 5. I'm Jamie Lynch and with Tyler Zuli for most of this week. We got Dylan behind the glass. And I do want to get into the Markelle Fultz thing. By the way, I believe it was a first in the history of baseball yesterday with the two play-in game baseball games. And they were good games. And the Phillies are going to look back at two things from this past offseason. They're going to look at J.D. Martinez and go, oh, yeah, why didn't we like that guy? And they're going to look at the Christian Yelich trade and go, why didn't we like that guy?
Yelich hurts me so bad.
Because he got traded for a sack of peanuts.
It was nothing. And the Phillies have been linked to Christian Yelich since his career.
Yeah.
Now, the Phillies have been linked to every Marlin ever.
Yeah. But think about that. They had Stanton and Yelich on the team last year.
And couldn't win because they had no pitching.
Yeah. Pretty crazy, but it was cool to see the play-in games at Wrigley. So it's Dodgers-Braves today, and then, wait, I get to use one of my favorite drops. The Colorado Rockies are playing the Brewers. Is that correct?
No, the Rockies play the Cubs.
Oh, the Rockies play the Cubs today in the wild card. Okay. That's crazy. It's
a play-in for a play-in.
Yeah, a play-in.
To get to the NLDS.
Wild stuff. I think the Braves are... Do you give them any chance against the Dodgers?
I think the Braves win that series.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, I do. I don't buy stock into the Dodgers pitching staff as much as a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Because, I'm a Kershaw. Obviously, everybody loves Kershaw.
Yeah,
but he's playoff Kershaw is not great.
So, yeah, pretty cool. Baseball's underway. But it amazes me, just I don't want to dive too deep into baseball here. It amazes me how little of a story it was on an NFL Sunday that there was two play-in games the next day. I didn't even hear about it.
And that's the thing. That's why the NFL is what the NFL is, because it's the monster that controls Sunday.
It eats. But, like, I don't know if that's MLB's lack of marketing, lack of coverage on television. Like, I follow baseball guys on Twitter, and over the weekend, I feel like I didn't see anything about this.
Yeah, and, you know, you're just, you know, you basically, the MLB has to realize that they're just losing on a Sunday.
Yeah,
and that's why
I think it's bigger than that, even.
If you notice, they don't ever play playoff games on Sundays.
Yeah.
Almost ever.
They shouldn't. But just knowing that there was two games yesterday kind of that I like barely realized until yesterday morning, I was like...
Were huge games, too.
Yeah, and I was like, wow, that's like really bad that I didn't even know about that, and I work in sports. So regardless, but yes, Christian Yelich is probably your NL MVP. The guy's an absolute stud.
I'd vote for him, yeah.
He led the league in average. I think he was second in home runs. He was up there in RBIs. Yeah, it's just... And the Phillies could have had him for a bucket of baseballs, and that sucks.
Carlos Santana,
yeah, and JD Martinez.
And I'm a big Carlos Santana. I'm an advocate for Carlos Santana.
I like Carlos Santana a little bit too, but compared to JD Martinez and Christian Yelich,
not quite.
And then if you had made those moves, Reese is able to play first base.
It's water under the bridge, Jamie.
Yes, we won't talk about that anymore.
There's no crying in baseball!
Yeah, there is.
When there's two MVP candidates that you passed on for something that clogged your system. All right, yeah, moving on from the Phillies. Doug Peterson yesterday talked about playing like champions that they are. After we listen to Doug, we'll dive into Markel last night, who I thought was great. Here's Doug talking about playing like champions.
Our understanding that for us to play like champions, first of all, we have to understand that we are champions, and you have to play. You're expected to play a certain way. Coaches and players here in Philadelphia with the Eagles, and it's my expectation. And when you don't live up to that expectation, we need to just zero down on it.
Doug's got a great he's real powerful but yeah, they do need to play like champions, and you know, penalties in opportune times and sloppiness and lack of what I perceive as communication problems in the secondary, all these things are not playing like a champion. So yeah, it would be nice to see them get back to playing like that.
And the beauty of this whole season is there's still what, 12 games left to play? It's the tough part of the schedule, you know, don't get me wrong, but that's the beauty of this whole thing. 12 games left to play, 6 of which are divisional games.
Yeah.
You can make that work.
Obviously. I think the Giants are, you know, I don't think they're a huge concern, but it's a division game, so it's always tough. The Redskins, I think, will give you a battle because they're strong in both trenches. And the Cowboys, you know, look, they hang, I guess. You know, it's not going to be easy. Like, I don't think...
The Cowboys are pests this year.
Yeah, they're a little bit.
If you make a couple mistakes, they'll hang around. You know, Dak doesn't turn the ball over all that frequently. He doesn't make any plays either, but, you know, at least, you know, they'll hang around if you let them.
Yeah, so, you know, I love... You know, don't love, but the division is very...
It's winnable.
Obtainable.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
Yeah, like, you know, division games are division games, but... You know, they do have a tough schedule. They got the Vikings coming up. They have the Jaguars in London still. They have the Rams. I believe that's out in L.A. again. Yep. They have at the Saints still. So the schedule it's brutal. So let's snap two. And Doug said that they need to worry about the urgency now, and it needs to be heightened.
the sense of urgency from players and coaches needs to sort of heighten just a little bit. It's not a panic mode, but it's a heightened awareness of who we are as a football team, where we want to get to, and we have to eliminate these penalties, and because they're coming at the wrong time, and turnovers are coming at the wrong time, and there's no good time for any of them, but that's just what's happening. We just have to keep coaching.
Yeah, let's eliminate those turnovers, Doug. I agree with everything you said. Press conferences are, I don't want to say a complete waste of time, but 95% a waste of time.
If the media didn't have a job to do,
yeah,
and they were required to be there, they wouldn't have them.
I mean, like, what coach speak is like its own language. You say a lot without saying anything.
And most of the time you can peer through what is basically
BS.
That's
what I try to do, is read between the lines and pick up, you know, the inner monologue, what he's really saying. That would actually be a fun, like, little bit segment, the what Doug's really thinking.
You can make that an elective at college.
Yeah, like, play his cut and then do the what I was really thinking. I hate all of you, I don't want to be up here, and I wish you all harm.
You've got to do it in the monotone robot voice, though. They can't pronounce any words right.
So, it would be nice. But last night down in South Philadelphia at the Wells Fargo Center, I couldn't wait for 7 o'clock last night. I watched Jahlil Okafor on a tablet on my honeymoon play summer league basketball. So yeah,
that's home dedication.
a home preseason game. Yeah, it's gonna get me excited. I'm a loser, but Markelle Fultz with his trainer Drew Hanlon sitting right there, under the basket last night, he looked better than I thought he was going to.
I agree with you.
He hit a three. He rose up. He had a couple pull-up jumpers from foul line extended. He took a dude off the dribble, and it looked like a fluid shot. The hitch is gone. You know, he looked good. He had a block on defense. He was all over the court. He has a little bit of a swagger about him. And, you know, Drew Hanlon tweeted at one point, Markelle is back. And let me see if I can get this right. Markelle is back. If you saw how much work this kid put in this summer, there's no way you wouldn't be supporting him right now. And that's, I don't get, look, last year was weird. It was messed up. Whether it was an injury or not, I don't buy that. I think the kid went through some mental problems or some struggles, I should say, and lost his shot, had the yips. And he put the work in this summer. He was doing 2 and 3 days out in L.A. He was there for 3 months. He was grinding. He was putting in the work, remaking the shot. I don't get the haters of Fultz.
Yeah, listen, the guy went, whatever kind of mental
anguish he went through.
Yeah, whatever he went through, it's, you know, he's a person at the end of the day. So we hold our athletes to higher standards.
Yeah.
Like they are some kind of infallible. They have money.
Yeah,
they have money. They have fame. They've got to be happy.
They've got it all figured out.
But at the end of the day, they're still people. So to not root for the kid?
I just don't know what you gain from it other than being like, I told you. And it's like, well, we didn't even get a look at the kid yet.
Right.
He played 8 games and barely played and was severely limited at the most basic thing a basketball player does. Like, you didn't see the kid yet, so why are you? It's almost like, I don't think people want to sound like this, but it's almost like they're hoping he fails. And I'm like,
to justify your response from season one.
Yeah, which is ridiculous, because I used to support Jahlil Okafor. Once I realized he couldn't play in this league, I jumped right off that ship.
And there are guys you get right, especially in our field, we like to pretend like we're scouts, and we say, I think this guy's going to be good, I think this guy's not going to be good. You get more wrong than you get right. But so do
league executives.
Right. and you never hear, you know, if you were to say, you know, I think X player is good, and he stinks at the end, you don't bring it up.
Yeah.
You just pretend it never happened.
I thought Jahlil Okafor was the right pick. That's one I have to live with for life.
I always go back to this one. I wanted Deion Jordan. I didn't want Lane Johnson. Yeah. Could you imagine?
Everybody's got 20 of those.
You get them wrong. It happens.
So support Markelle Fultz. I don't get it. Like, if this kid ends up being why they took him number one, it is the fastest route for this team to become a championship caliber roster. He takes you from good to great. He really does.
And on the cheap, too.
Yeah, and if he is what he could be, you're right there with the Celtics already, in my opinion. the Celtics probably have a slight edge already, but if he gives you legit number one-ish skills, you're right there.
And I think the best thing that he could do this year for the team is maybe not make them as good or better than the Celtics, but make them as good or better than the Raptors.
Yeah.
And make it a Celtics Sixers.
And he makes them really deep.
Right.
Because, look, he's probably not going to be starting, and that's fine.
But although, if you ask JJ, he may be.
He could.
Redick spoke about it the other day, he said he's in Markel's corner to start to be the starter.
And that means JJ goes to the bench.
Comes from the bench and be a sixth guy.
Look, Mark, I just think Markel has to earn that, and I think it's possible. But either way, your bench becomes a lot deeper because Wilson Chandler, I think, was an underrated pickup this year. I think he's going to work out pretty well for this rotation and this team. So when you have a second unit of JJ and Wilson or Markel and Wilson and then the rest of the bench that they have, you're running 8 or 9 deep on a pretty talented squad. So I just think Markel it's paramount that he works out. And you'll see him and Ben, and they don't seem to have any problem coexisting on the floor. And Joel Embiid, he legit could be an MVP top 2 or 3 candidate this year.
And I know you're putting a couple of coins on that one.
Plus 1,500.
That's a good get. If you know, that's a huge return.
You heard him last night talking about it during the game. You know, Brett is stressing to him that he plays bully ball this year, which he hasn't been able to do. Well, not that he hasn't been able to. He hasn't done because he still doesn't have a total 100% understanding of the game. I thought he played a little too finesse at times last year. When you have Joel Embiid, that's a sure thing 2-point basket.
Well, I think he's still concerned about collecting too many fouls early.
Yeah.
Because he's still not fully polished,
is amazing. If he figures out the low post presence, he's going to be able to get as sure of a thing of a bucket as you should be able to get on a basketball court. And, you know, he had a skinny Mo Bamba on him last night and Nick Vucevic at one point. Neither of those guys had a prayer of handling him.
No, it's almost not even right.
Yeah, so, you know, he could be legit all-team and first-team NBA Defensive Player of the Year and a possible MVP candidate. So it's going to be an exciting Sixers season. I can't wait for it. Fanatics Sports Times 541.
I'm Brian from 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Two guys? You came with just two guys?
All you have to do is point.
It took 6 men to get that in here. What? But
all you have to do is point, sir.
What's going on in here? Hey, where's the...
I just pointed at it, and it...
But it took 6 men to get that in here.
Is there any chance you could also get...
It's like magic.
1-800-GOT-JUNK is the world's largest full-service junk removal company.
We are happy helpers in snappy uniforms.
And we drive clean, shiny trucks.
Clean and shiny and happy is what we're all about.
We're happy to crawl through your attic.
We're happy to dig through your basement.
We make junk disappear.
Anytime.
Anywhere.
Call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Wendy's 4 for $4 is the deal you can count on every day. No catch, no strings attached, just 4 items for $4. Hence the name, 4 for $4. Choose one of 8 great options like the double stack, spicy chicken wrap, or junior bacon cheeseburger. And you get 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink. A full meal for just $4, only at Wendy's, baby. That's added value multiplied by tons of goodness. Because the 4 for $4 is what you need when you need it. So turn that car around and hit your nearest Wendy's today.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Meal includes 4-piece chicken nuggets, small fries, and small drink. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
Today's the day to get motivated, to be inspired, to start listening. And now with Audible, for just $14.95 a month, you get any audiobook of your choice and 2 Audible originals. Plus, for the first time ever, exclusive fitness and wellness programs all included with your membership. And if you don't like a book, exchange it at any time. So make today the day you start listening to Audible. Start your 30-day trial and get your first audiobook for free at audible.com.
Rich Eisen here. All right, guys, huddle up. The 2019 Honda Pilot is here and ready to help get you to all of your home and away games this season. With its available intelligent traction management and more than capable cargo space, the Pilot offers the versatility you need to keep your team driving all season. And the Honda Sensing suite of safety and driver assistive technologies like lane departure warning and collision mitigation braking system can help you keep your head in the game. So hurry into your local Honda dealer to test drive the Pilot today.
What gives one company the edge over another? Maybe it's not one thing. Maybe it's taking care of lots of things that help a business run smoothly. In other words, Cintas. Cintas has products that help your people stay safe and apparel programs that convey the right image. They service fire protection equipment, deliver and stock restroom supplies, and make sure facilities are clean and ready. Because when all those things work together, you're in business.
Oh, I'm ready!
Get Cintas and get ready for the workday.
Staples knows that in business, everything is urgent. You can't put off until tomorrow what you need to do now. You don't need to print sometimes. You have to be able to print at any time. Which is why at Staples, your ink and toner is always in stock and always priced low. And during Staples printing event, our prices are even lower. Right now at Staples, get $25 off any two HP toner cartridges. Which is good, because right now is when you need it, if not sooner.
Ends 10-6-18. Restrictions may apply. See store associate or staples.com/toner savings for details.
And now, a page from the Diary of Flo.
Dear Diary, the ghost is back. This house is protected through Progressive, but that doesn't mean it's not haunted. How else would you explain that radiator-like clanking sound? Or the moon-colored light in the hallway that's gone by morning? Maybe he never bundled home and auto, and he's doomed to suffer an eternity without the savings.
Save an average of 17% on car insurance when you bundle home and auto through Progressive.
What was that wind-like sound? Oh, right, the wind.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
O'Reilly.
Right now at O'Reilly Auto Parts, pick up 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for $28.95 and get a $10 O'Reilly gift card by mail. Protect your engine from sludge and wear with Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come to Lowe's for stylish updates for fall, like our wide range of durable 100% waterproof porcelain tile starting at just 99 cents per square foot, or tiles with slip resistance, perfect for wet interior spaces, starting at 149 per square foot. Plus, purchase an in-home measurement by October 16 and get new floors installed by Thanksgiving. Visit Lowe's.com/floor install to see how. All projects have a starting point. Start with Lowe's. Restrictions apply. Install by independent contractor. Subject to product and installer availability. See store or Lowe's.com for licensure and details. U.S. only.
Welcome back in, Fanatic at 5. And don't forget, the 5 a.m. hour is brought to you by Car Gurus. Go to carguru.com today to find great deals from top-rated dealers near you. That's CARGURUS.com. We have Rob Motti and D. Lineham coming up at the top of the hour. Lots of, you know, Eagles still. This is kind of the rational thinking day about what happened on Sunday. Monday is usually the either anger or joy, just kind of emotional day. Then you get another night's sleep, think about it, and you come back with a fresh head. And obviously, my big concern is the secondary and the offensive line. It's not unique to me. I think we all have concerns about both. I have more concern about the secondary than I do the offensive line. But the best remedy for this team over the past, you know, 2-3 years has been playing at home. So let's hope Sunday when, you know, Kirk Cousins, your man, comes to town with his now trademarked "you like that." How he's the corniest dude in the NFL by far.
Every time I go to defend that guy, because I'm like the biggest Kirk Cousins fan in the
world.
He's
okay. I don't think he's...
Every time I go to defend that guy, he does something outrageously stupid.
You like that? You like that? I'll trademark it.
Apparently, though, nerd. From what the Vikings have said, he is so genuinely dorky. Like, this isn't a facade. Yeah, yeah. He's just a dork.
Well, I think he was a biomedical undergrad.
Really?
At Michigan State. Yeah,
he's a smart guy.
Yeah, I think he's like a really heady type of dude.
Interesting. It's kind of like Andrew Luck being an architect.
Is that what he was?
I think that's what architectural design or something like that.
I had a couple architects friends in college, and that's tough stuff, man. Those kids put in a lot of hours. And Kirk Cousins was on the Michigan State roster. At one point, they had 3 NFL quarterbacks on the roster, and I'm blanking on who it was.
Nick Foles.
Yes, it was Nick Foles before he transferred to Arizona. It was Foles, Cousins, and I think there was a third. Was it Case Keenum? No, not Case Keenum. somebody else, I think. Maybe it was a Drew Stanton. I forget. But
on that Michigan State roster?
Yeah.
I'll look it up for you.
Yeah, before Nick transferred out, they had three guys. And I think Saban was gone, but yeah, he was probably gone by then. But regardless, yeah, Kirk and the squad come to town this weekend. So we'll see. You know, what's not a good cure for a secondary is Adam Thielen and Stephon Diggs. That is not great. Dalvin Cook was held in check last week to 20 yards, so they also have him. They have Kyle Rudolph, the tight end, as well. So we'll dive into that later this week. But we were talking about the Sixers a little bit. And Dylan, if you can cue up the Markelle Fultz cut last night. He was asked after the game about playing with Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, and courtesy of NBC Sports Philly after the game last night, here's Markelle.
They're great players, you know. When you play those guys, they make everything easy, you know. You can't really play off Ben. You can't play off Joel. Joel always gets two people on him. Ben does the same. Ben's going to find you. So when you're out there with those guys, it's easy to get your own shot and be able to play, help the team. So,
I mean, just the talent between Markelle, Joel, and Ben is elite stuff. And if those three figure it out, man, it's going to be a lot of fun this year.
There is only one ball.
Yes.
And that's the issue.
But Ben loves passing that ball.
That's it. So you've got the facilitator.
Yep.
You've got the down low presence.
Yep.
And now if Markelle can open up that wing jumper to step out to the outside.
Oh, boy.
That's a presence.
I tweeted last night. Now, you know, Billy Madison voice. Now you're all in big, big trouble.
With a big dodgeball in your hand.
Yeah. And I'm hoping Fultz is that dodgeball. But Coach Brett Brown also spoke to NBC Sports Philly after the game about, you know, having his three kind of top picks all together now. And here's Brett.
There's an embracement that they have to get stuff done together as teammates, and concessions at times need to be made. I think those three together have been excellent.
Yeah, it's exciting. I'm sure Brett is excited by the possibilities of the three of them. He gets to let it all kind of hang out this year, and this is the first year I think he's had everyone intact.
Well, and he mentions concessions, and I don't see that there being an issue.
No.
You know, you're not dealing with a bunch of J.R. Smiths. You've got guys that fill that while they could all be stars, they fill specific roles.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny. I mean, here we are on a Tuesday in the middle of NFL season with the team 2-2.
Talking about preseason basketball.
And we're talking preseason basketball. But because you missed Fultz for a year, you know, it lends to that, and it's very exciting. And you did some good crack research there. It was Nick Foles, Kirk Cousins, and Brian Hoyer were the three Michigan State quarterbacks.
What a trio of big arms.
Yeah, and I saw it in similar things I saw on Twitter this morning. It was a picture, Alvin Kamara, TJ Yeldon, Derrick Henry, and one other Alabama back who's now in the league. They were all on Alabama together at the same time before Kamara transferred to Tennessee.
Was it Bo Scarborough?
No, he wasn't there
prior
yet.
To him.
Yeah, it was prior to him because Kamara was. Yeah, but it's amazing some of these college teams get, you know, three and four future pros all at one position. So yes, around the league. Oh, last night I wanted to play for you Patrick Mahomes before we get out of here, because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs last night moved to 4-0. They beat the Denver Broncos in the Monday Night Football game, and Patrick Mahomes' voice might be one of the best things going in the NFL right now. It's a little bit of Swamp Monster meets Bobcat Goldthwait meets a Muppet, and if you haven't heard it yet, here's Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, it speaks volumes to this team and, like, how much heart and determination that we have, that the defense got up there, made a lot of key stops, and the offense just kept fighting. The offensive line kept fighting. The running backs, the receivers, everybody just kept fighting, and we came out with the win.
Yeah, I love it. I love that voice. That and the Kawhi Leonard laugh are, like, two of my favorite
things.
It's
time to get things started on the Muppet Show tonight, I think.
I mean, if you were to call it after 4 weeks, Patrick Mahomes is the league MVP, right?
He's been the best quarterback in the NFL to this point. Now, obviously, we got 12 games left. Things will shape out.
Yeah,
he's
got
to have a downturn at some point as a second-year guy, a first-year starter. But to this point, he has been the best quarterback.
Yeah, absolutely crazy. There's a great tweet out there. You know my old boy, not my boy, I actually loathe this guy, Kian Fahey, the self-proclaimed.
Oh, your best friend.
Yeah, self-proclaimed quarterback expert that doesn't understand what he's looking at. Somebody dug up this old tweet of his, and it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. It's from last April. So, you know, shortly after the draft. This is so good. Past two drafts, teams have given up multiple first-round picks for Goff, Wentz, Mahomes, Watson. Teams are panicking.
So, panicking for
top quarterback
potential league MVP, quarterback that's got his team at 4-0, quarterback that's lighting the world on fire, and the guy that before he got his knee injured was lighting the world on fire.
Yes.
You know, I remember when we talked about earlier how we all get some wrong?
Yeah.
He gets all wrong.
Yeah, I don't see.
I don't think he's been right in 3 years.
It's a thing of beauty. I love just, you know, occasionally looking at it. I have it saved on my phone, but I saw it again on the timeline last night, and I was like, it's beautiful.
It just seems like, you know, I don't hate many people that are in this industry. He's one of those guys that I just enjoy when he gets stuff
blocked
wrong.
He's blocked me on both accounts.
Has he really?
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah. It's a badge honor. Dylan, thanks for producing the show. Rob Motti and D. Lynam are coming up next. I'm sure Eagles and Sixers will be on the table. Thanks for tuning in. Tyler will be in with me the majority of the week. But I'm Jamie Lynch. Thanks for listening to Fanatic at 5, Fanatic Sports Times 555.